All right, folks. We have Monica Perez coming on the show. At Monica Perez Show on Twitter. She hosts The Deep Dive. The Deep Dive? Do I have the Deep Dives with Monica Perez? She's been on the show a couple times back in 2020 and I believe 2022, maybe late 2021. We're going to talk about some stuff, talk about her work, maybe some conspiracies. So let's get her on in the room. Hello?
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Monica, how's it going?
Fine, thank you. Yeah. What's going on with you? Every time I talk to you, you've undergone an evolution of some kind or another.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just doing my thing. Yeah, I don't know what my latest evolution is, but it might come out in today's show or whatever. But I've actually been about the same for since about January 6th. You know, January 6th was the
big change. Oh, that's right. You had trouble.
Yeah, I did 3 weekends in jail this year. Yeah.
Can you please explain this to me? Because my understanding of the whole January 6th thing is that absolutely nothing happened. A good friend of mine was there. She saw some people like climbing up a scaffolding near Alex Jones, and that looked weird. And then some guy ran out and said, "Someone's been shot." And she said, "I don't believe you." She thought he was completely faking it. Yep. The doors were open. She was there with a Right to Life crowd, and she took pictures of taking like a Jesus. She had a big crucifix with her into the Capitol. She's like, "I have pictures every minute of the entire time."
Yeah.
And I just don't understand how people are going to jail. And I did crack the code on something, which is the reason that they literally doxed every single person or went to everyone's house who they saw a picture on Facebook was to make sure that no videos went up. So she gave me like hours worth of videos. She said, "You can post it." And I didn't, because I didn't want to get people in trouble. Mm. And that's why you don't have any counter narrative out there. But okay, so now you're good.
Yeah, I mean, I've told the story a bunch of times. I mean, like,
sorry.
No, that's okay. No problem at all. I if it sounds scripted, what I'm about to say, it's only because I've said it a lot. But I mean, I just think that you're dealing with an event, a world historical event where there were anywhere between, 200,000 and 500,000 people by the Capitol, maybe more than that in D.C. at the time. And I do think I do have the belief that that lady did not get shot. I think they kind of...
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, they kind of crafted her out of thin air and used it as atrocity propaganda
when the guy came running out, it was early. The timeline was wrong. So, my friend who was there said they just got there. It was like before 2 o'clock or whatever. And he came running out and she just said, like, "But these doors just opened. How could that have happened?"
Yeah. And where I was on the east side, the west side of the building was where she got shot supposedly. And the big side, like the main side of the Capitol, is on the west. I was on the east and I was in there for about 45 minutes live streaming. And, they took my video down that night, but it's funny, about a year and a half later, there's all these journalists that are good journalists that are looking into independent people. And a guy sent me my own footage. I thought it was gone forever.
Wow.
A guy sent me my own footage, and it's because there's this organization called Sedition Hunters. And they're a far left organization that tries to get all these people and report them to the FBI. They mirrored my footage that day because they were trying to get me caught. He got it from their website. You can download. So he actually got my footage from from the enemy. It's on Odyssey. Full unedited footage is on Odyssey.
What were you up to that got you to have to go to jail?
Well, I mean, what happened is I pled guilty to the charge picketing, parading, and demonstrating in a federal building. I got charged with 3 charges. I think one was disorderly conduct. The other was, people might know in the chat better than me, but so I pled guilty to it, took a plea deal, and went 3 weekends in it was a county facility, but made for federal inmates. So I think things happened that day. I do think that people did fight with cops. They did break stuff.
Makes you think that?
I've seen videos of it.
How long did it take them to bring those videos out? Because in the beginning, I think they were waiting for real footage.
A day or two. Yeah, I do. But the whole debate on my end is whether those people were attacked first by cops or they were, I don't know
what if they were just agents of provocateur staging it, because cops were like opening barriers and giving people a hand.
All that happened too. All that happened too. So yeah. So, I mean, like, that's why it's like, we're dealing with like a big event with a lot of people there, a lot of moving parts, but I do know, not personally, but through connections, that there were non-feds there. There was a non-zero amount of non-feds there that did get into scraps with cops. So,
there is, I mean, I think it's almost impossible to actually try to provoke stuff and not actually provoke stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if 100%. You were looking for normal people to go be pushed to their limits, that's another thing. Like, every video I ever see, I'm not talking about January 6th, but I'm talking about basically every video I've ever seen of like white cop on black suspect crime, it's always super super truncated, so you can't see the beginning and the end. Whereas right here where I live in Pasadena, there was an incident with a guy named Anthony McLean. Cops stopped the car, there was like a license plate issue. This guy Anthony McLean was a passenger. I think he had some minor like warrant out for him and maybe had something on him, so he starts running away and they shot him twice in the back.
You
probably don't know the name of Anthony McLean because they would never show that, because everyone would be like, that's not right.
Yeah.
So they take the ones that are clearly ambiguous. But all I'm saying is, like, you never see the level, like when the mask wearing, the mask baiting, you never saw how hard these people were baited until finally they said, like, shut the fuck up and get out of my face. You know,
they clipped the video right at the spot.
And you
absolutely
can just imagine, like, how so I don't think it's impossible to, I think it's likely that if you set out thousands and thousands of feds to provoke people, you do it in the chat, they have such an advantage when it comes to AI and computer, you know, understanding psychology in the digital space. Like, you can definitely, like, they have I read this thing in Quartz, like in whatever digital magazine, where the guy said he was in on the creation of Google with the NSA, and one of the reasons they did it was you can get so much more psychological information out of a search than you can out of Facebook. It's kind of like an artist isn't his best own critic. Like, he doesn't really know what he's thinking. And then they could create what they called birds of a feather around that person, which could be not any, they could think there's 1,000 people in a room with them and it's not one single other person. And they can actually make that person, you know, crowds and power crowds really mess with how people think. So
they
be real.
Yeah. The thing about J6, and like, there's only like three or four historical events that I can speak on where I'm like, I'm sure of what I saw. And those are the ones that I was actually at. So it's like that one, the J6, I mean, not the J6, the George Floyd riots. I was at those documenting that as well. So I saw what I saw, but I've also have seen the video footage. But there's, you know, I think a lot of it is humans just, they love a narrative and they love it. They need it kind of simple. So they would say, feds did J6. Well, a lot of people did J6, and the Antifa did J6. It was an inside job, like 9/11. I mean, very few people are willing to say that it, you know, was an inside job, but it also was 19 guys with box cutters. This is not my take, but it's the ability to say that it was six things, because it was many different people doing many different things. But there's definitely tomfoolery, and I know I went to jail. I was there. People, you
and
know,
you do, yeah. Do you feel like you did the thing that they accused you of doing?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I can.
And that's a problem is that they have so many laws.
Yeah.
And then another thing that I think is outrageous is that they can charge you several different crimes for one single act.
Yeah.
And they can do it at like a state level, a federal level. To me, that's double jeopardy. Like, you should have one crime for one
crime.
Act. And that's how they get plea bargains to happen. That have, like, Tommy Chong pled guilty to a crime that he was not even accused of. So
like, they took a deal, like, hey, if we hit you with this, we'll lessen the charge.
His son was absolutely entrapped, there's no question about it, to make and sell glass art bongs, artistic glass, blown glass bongs. There's a movie called AKA Tommy Chong. So what they did, they went to Tommy Chong and they said, we're going to charge your son and your wife with crimes that could lead them to go to jail for 99 years. but if you will just go to jail for a year, then we will not charge them. So he didn't do anything wrong. They didn't accuse him. And in the papers, it's like, we want him to go instead because he mocks law enforcement in film.
Bruh. Wow. Yeah. I mean, so, yeah.
Plea bargains are really weaponized.
They really are. I think it's just, it should be like a crime. And no, I do think, I guess if you murder someone and steal from them, I mean, that is two acts, but that's not really what you're saying. You're saying that this guy was, they weren't even accused of that.
And yeah, he wasn't kinda, even accused yeah, of doing yeah. any of the things they said. But I'm saying if you kill someone, you should not be charged with murder at the local level and also violating his civil rights on the federal level. Murder is a crime that falls squarely in the purview of the state and local governments. Nothing to do with the feds. None.
Yeah.
So then you've got this pile-on thing where they can say, look, if you don't take a plea bargain right now, you're facing 150 years of consecutive sentences on the federal level after you do 150 years of consecutive sentences on the state level for one single thought and action.
Yeah, that's great. You know, so when I was in jail, I just went in there and I was like, hey, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, you know, basically normal, smart, you know, intelligent jail protocol.
Yes.
But, you know, eventually you're in. So what happened? I was in there for 3 weekends for 48 hours straight. And you're in there in the holding cell with other people and they don't turn the lights off the whole time. They give you crap meals and you basically have nothing to do other than talk. And so you're just talking. And the number one question is, what are you in here for? And I was very vague about it. And, I would say, yeah, I'm in for trespassing.
Not a lot of Trump supporters in the jail.
There were a ton. Oh, it was like all Republican. It was in one of the most red counties in America. So
I don't know where you are.
It was in Blount County, Tennessee. So like 30 minutes south of Knoxville. So it was very, very red. So most people in there were Republicans or at least right-wing.
So you're not getting raped.
No. And either way, there was nothing going on in there. Cause
it wasn't super rapey.
You're 6 feet from the guard. not rapey.
Well, the guard could rape you.
Yeah, that's right. No. But a couple guys figured it out just on me saying I'm from D.C. I was trespassing. And this one guy was like, oh, you're one of them. So I kind of like got a little bit of celebrity status.
That's
in there.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they were asking me all these kinds of questions. So my scripted responses kind of started in jail because it was like different guys asking me over and over. I'm like, all right, like let's talk about it a little bit.
I need a story now. Yeah, and by the end of it, one of the guys is a fed and you've got facing more time for making shit up.
Oh, but there was, gosh, I hope not. But anyway, so what I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, I don't know when you started doing this deep dives show, but over the last couple of years, you've kind of done different projects and different shows. What led you up to, have you always done deep dives or what led you up to only doing this?
No, thank you. And I know it's kind of confusing. It's not great to have to morph and I've taken the summer off, so that didn't help at all. Mm. I mean, I've got some interviews up there, but the real deep dive. So originally, I mean, I will tell you, 10 years ago or 12 years ago, I was just studying to be a financial advisor and taking tests. And I ended up just talking to a radio producer because I had become an anarcho-capitalist, like a big fan of Hans Hermann Hoppe. And I was just like, my mind was blown because I had this tagline basically of my life. Like you would say in jail, I would say like sitting next to somebody at a wedding, that like the idea of the necessity of government isn't questioned by anybody, like the way the existence of God was not questioned by people, we are told, 1,000 years ago. And I was like, could you ever think about that? Like society might be self-ordering. And I think it is. Like, I think just based on how people do tipping and stuff, social pressure is more effective in a society. Like most people aren't criminals because you get more out of life when you trade fairly and build up a good reputation, and it's just possible. So she loved that. She was on a super conservative radio station and she was like, we need, you know, something different. So I did the radio stuff for 8.5 years. And then in February 2020, I could say whatever I wanted. I avoided some topics that were just hot button issues, abortion, 9/11, Israel, like just because it was Rush Limbaugh station and there was just no, you know, you're just like you would lose credibility with basically everybody. You couldn't talk about anything if you came out on the wrong side of some of those issues. But basically, I could, you know, I told the truth about Boston Marathon bombing, even though that friend who was my producer was like, don't do it. You can't do it. And I was like, I'm doing it. And I did. And it was okay. Like, I got some hate mail, but it was okay. What was not okay, it seems to me, could have been a coincidence, but the new owners took the helm. And I came out against, I said the lockdown would be 2 years, not 2 weeks. And I was literally gone by Saturday. And that was in Atlanta, where the CDC was. But had a sidekick, Binkley, on that show. And then, so we were basically training to have a full-time show there. It takes a long time because it was a super like popular, you know, it was like the number one talk news or whatever in the country. And you just don't start. It takes forever to get a daily show.
Yeah.
But we were ready for that. And I was like, let's just do it. Let's just do it. We've got a little bit of a podcast presence. So we did it. And the idea was, I knew from being on the radio that there was no place you could go for daily news that didn't have an agenda. You just couldn't. You could do CNN, you could do Fox, but you just couldn't find the truth about anything. And so I said, look, people don't want to listen to that. Let's just give them the news so they don't have to listen to the radio. And we did. And it was great. It was so perfect for the time. We did it for like 2 years or maybe even three. And it was great for the time because people needed to know that these policies were crazy and that if you're not super, super afraid of trillions of invisible monsters trying to kill everybody, that you're not the crazy one. Mm. And we got tons of like such supportive email. And it was difficult because I had three kids at home, you know, Zoom schooling because I just moved to LA. But we did it. And it was, I think, a really valuable thing. It kept us all sane. And then I just, you know, honestly, one of my kids was like, you just please stop. Like, it's just, you know, I was working 7 days a week and I just didn't have time.
Now, excuse me, was this the propaganda report?
The propaganda report I always kind of did with my sidekick Binkley, but then we did the drive time news blast.
That's what I was thinking about. Sorry for interrupting. I just want to make sure I got the names of the stuff.
So I did it, like, I just wanted people to know it is the drive time news blast. Like, we will give you all of the news while you're driving home from work. That is what you need to do. And it was very popular. I have to say it was really successful. And, but it just, like, we had a big Patreon following and we did a lot of like cocktail parties and Zoom calls. And I was literally working 7 days a week. And I realized like my priority, it was funny because I had an interview with Theo Bishop. And I was like, you know, how do we do more? How do we save the world? Whatever. And he said, well, the first thing you need to do is like tend your own garden. And he wasn't talking to me. Like, he had no idea. And I just was like, holy shit. Like, you're so right. Now, I wouldn't have quit sooner because I feel like we were trying to keep each other sane. Mm. But when I noticed that like the Friday night parties, you know, weren't really attended anymore, and I was still getting lots of listens, as many listens as ever, but I could tell that there wasn't like a need, and I also was getting a lot of signals from home that there was a need there.
Yeah.
So I took a break. I didn't want to completely lose touch with my audience. So I do lots of interviews. I find interviews to just be, you know, just fun and easy. But once in a while I was trying to do them like every day, then every week, then every other week. And then I just, for the summer, I just couldn't do any our deep dives. So what I'll do is I'll take a subject and I will put like the full force of all my years of learning how to do a little deep research and understanding, like analyzing what's the real agenda. And I discovered this 15-minute cities. They're trying to like shut down driving and whatever. Right. But I really figured it out. Like, I cracked the code, the FTX thing, the crypto thing. Like, I just really figured it out. There was Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan and it was all about semiconductors. Like, that's what it's about. And it's about super, super high end, like AI. That's where whatever. And then like other congressmen went there and they were, if you look, like every single one of them met with the Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company, every one of them. And it was like, they are definitely there. Biden had just passed a law called CHIPS, that was about. And this wasn't on anybody's radar. So it gave me, gives me the opportunity, if I don't do a daily show, to dig into something to the point where in 45 minutes, like, you have a better understanding of some of these topics. But it takes me like 2 full days to do it. So when I was busy this summer, I couldn't get to it. But I want to do that again. I want to do some daily stuff again. I don't want to lose touch, but I, you know, I really think it's true, especially with women. It's a little bit of a trap, like, that, that we're basically taught that mothering is an afterthought, that it's easy, that it takes no time. There's no skill to it. Like, the only way, I don't know if anybody ever says that, but
Mind, well, my people do. And you're so right about that. Yeah.
Yeah, in my mind, I never thought of mothering as an aspiration. And I always wanted to have kids, but I didn't realize you had to be good at it, that you had to. And I was always home. Like, even when I did every single show, I was always in the house, and I thought that was enough. But I was just not great at it. Like, I was just thinking this morning, I was like, did I really teach my kids how to brush their teeth properly? Like, I can't even remember. And I was the youngest of 9. So it wasn't like I witnessed a lot of, like, hardcore Leave It to Beaver mothering. You know, my mom and I get along absolutely great, but the two of us will just eat ice cream out of the carton and watch Jeopardy and, like, this is a great day. But I was not, especially in this changing world. Like, I was never, my kids weren't great at a sport before they were 10. Like, I just, and some of that was me just being like, I'm not falling for that, but maybe you have to.
Wow. Very cool. So that you do for your show, you do research for a couple days and put it out there, but you're also using this time to, someone says in the chat that mothering is the greatest aspiration. So, and I agree with that. That's very base to hear that someone come.
Yeah.
Ar- you know, come
I just wish
that.
I had done it better and really took it more seriously. Yeah. And I'm lucky enough to marry a guy who wanted to have kids. He like, the first time he met me, he was like, oh, you're the one. And I was like, what the fuck? You're short. But
no way.
You know, you just, I'm not perfect either. And I just, I had to, like, take one bullet. But but yeah, he was just like,
you say he's short?
Short.
He's like, how short is short?
Well, let me just say, his response was, because I actually said it to him, he said, I'm average height. And I said, it's fucking height. And and he
was
just
King James English, yeah, height.
Yeah, like he was just like, oh, you're the one.
Wow.
I was like, okay. I had also, he was like eating hot sauce and he thought he was cool, and he is cool and eats unbelievable amounts of hot sauce, and he's from Texas, and I'm a total Yankee, never had hot sauce in my life. And I was like, yeah, I could eat as much as you can. And I'm putting Dave's Insanity sauce on my tongue. Yeah. We're doing head rushes, like fucking bottle of beer with a carb thing, and just what? And I was like, you got the wrong impression. I'm not a party girl. And to this day, he's just like, you're not a party girl. Like, you have a cocktail blog. I'm like, I know.
Yeah,
but
that's
not
true. I checked
it out.
I'm
not a party. Yeah. He's like, you're a party girl. I'm like, I'm a nerd. He's like, you're a nerd, but you're a party girl. I'm like, okay.
But how short is short? I want to know what, when you
see. He's 5'8".
5'8". Okay.
But I'm 5'7".
You're 5'7". Okay.
So, I mean, to me, right, you need a little air there.
I'm 5'9". Is that short?
No, I mean, in my opinion, 5'8 was good enough for me.
Cool. All right.
Right. So, and I don't
we're so
like
back,
to, like,
folks.
Well, yeah, there's no, my, his family, and even like some of my family is definitely, I mean, I'm taller than some of the men in his family. So I'm not like being, I don't, I, you know, you can't be too PC. I just, it's a joke. So, but hey, I'm a lover.
Yeah, great.
You know, I like the short guys now. Cool. I'm convinced. And I had a boyfriend before him who was way shorter than I am. Shorter than me. So it's not like I'm prejudiced, but breeding, you know, you got to give people an advantage.
Those genes, yeah, you got to, yeah. It has to be, you know, just to go back to COVID real fast. Last time you were on, it was a while ago, but you mentioned something about there's a reason they call it germ theory, not germ. Do you think viruses, do you believe in germ theory, terrain theory? Do you have a take on that? Or
yeah, or miasma theory is another one. So terrain theory is that it's all about the terrain, and that's definitely true, right? Like, your health is your greatest predictor of getting sick. Then there's something called miasma, which isn't actually necessarily a real thing. There aren't like green clouds of fog coming up off a swamp that's making everybody sick, but there is stuff that makes people sick. I mean, it could be radiation, it could be chemicals, it could be, I think, microbial. I think it's clear to me that bacteria is infectious. So I've gotten strep throat, I've seen it. It's like 40,000 times the size of a virus as a bacterium. So I'm pretty convinced of that. The strict viral theory, I have to say, I absolutely did not believe it. And I even proved it to myself that it was not true, because I actually talked to the great Crow.
Yeah, was Crow 777.
No, oh, not sorry. Crow 777. Oh, sorry. A different Crow. I want to call him Andy Crow. How can I? He died right at the beginning of 2020. And he was writing The Infectious Myth. And it's awful that I should not remember his name. And that's so sad, because he would have been such a strong voice. But
David Crow.
But
it's I see your episode right here. Yeah, I'm looking at it's on IMDb.
Yeah,
the Propaganda
I know.
Isn't Report with David Crow. Yeah.
Yes. And I always confuse him, because he was similar to and talked a lot to Dr. Andrew Kaufman. So the Andy and the David. Yeah. So he... when I talked to him, the one question I asked him, I was like, hey, I get cold sores and I had chicken pox, like that's supposedly viral. He's like, yeah, I did not study that. I can't give you an answer on that. So I said something like that on Twitter. I was like, I use this Valtrex, which is, you know, an antiviral. And someone said, you shouldn't use that. You should figure out what's going on in your body. And I did. And it was a lysine deficiency. And now I take lysine, and unless I run out, I've never gotten a cold sore again, except for one time when I had COVID. I've had COVID 3 times, whatever COVID is. Yeah. I'm sure it was that, because it's fucked up. It's weird. It's not normal. Like, you lose your smell and it's just nothing. It's as a guy who's into acid told me, he's like, you could taste the chemist, right? I was like, yeah, I can taste the chemist. So I actually took lysine to help combat COVID, and that also worked. And lysine is something that gets depleted when you're under stress, and it's you need to have a balance of lysine and arginine, which are two amino acids. And when you use up too much lysine, the arginine can just starts to come out of your body. From what I can understand, they say that that's what viruses are made of, like basically arginine. But I don't know exactly that's true or not, but so it's hard to get natural sources of lysine, because a lot of times it's paired with arginine. So anyway, So I was still not convinced. Like, my test, I actually, you know, viruses failed to prove themselves. Then I started to think, I was reading a book called The Closed Circle, I think, about the Danny Casolaro story and the octopus and all that. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Promise Software. It was, Ghislaine Maxwell's father and the Israeli government were like putting back doors and all the companies. It's a really interesting story, and I can recommend some books about it. But in this book about Danny Casolaro, who's a journalist, kind of like Gary Webb, who got murdered for being about to uncover this collusion between U.S. and Israeli intelligence, or at least between some elements of the U.S. government and Robert Maxwell, to put back doors into all these other government systems. But one of the things that was in there that was exposed in this book was how they were developing bioweapons and their antidotes for at least 50 years since now. And I was reading and I was thinking, it's possible that viruses didn't exist and have been created, that it's all gain of function. And then if you talk to some people, I recently interviewed a molecular biologist. I spoke once to James Hill, who is a doctor on Substack, who's got some very hot sports opinions, as they say. But he was saying, even he was saying that viruses do, you know, the mRNA will get into you, or the DNA or whatever will get into you, and it will use your own body to multiply itself. And the first time I got COVID, it was literally the first time I interacted with a vaccinated person. It was January 2021. She was I was like, oh shit. Like, I didn't even believe in COVID, but I'm afraid of you. And I was sick 2 days later. So something jumped out of her face into my face and made me sick, I think.
So just to kind of clarify. So when someone says viruses aren't real, like someone like me, I mean naturally occurring, but you're saying that that they could have been created or, and
because
I believe in bioweapons and that we can synthesize and create things.
And a lot of those are bacterial, like anthrax, I believe is a bacterial bioweapon. So I just don't know. I mean, this COVID thing, in my opinion, there was no lab leak. It was a bioweapon that was literally just sprayed on, I actually think it was spread through the vaccine almost entirely, if not entirely. So if you look, I put a little definition in my glossary called the AstraZeneca effect. And it's that there were four variations of COVID pretty early on, like alpha, beta, delta, gamma, whatever. And every single solitary one of them emerged in the four places that AstraZeneca was doing trials.
Yep.
So they were only doing trials in four places. Japan was an unusual because they suspended it and then went back there. So I'm not counting Japan, but it was like Kenya, Brazil, the UK, and there was another place. So. Yeah. But those, South Africa, maybe there was those four places. And I was like, okay, so the early in 2020, I did not know a single person who had COVID to the point where I didn't even believe in it. That's how rare it was. And then it started to emerge in my town in November 2020, which is as soon as the vaccine started coming out. And then when they started vaccinating kids, of course I tweeted, well, now you'll see kids getting COVID. And then you did.
You did.
I mean, so I don't even think it was sprayed or anything. I think it was possible. If I were to guess, if I were to put money without having any liability attached to it, just a straight up guess in Vegas, I would say that it's spread exclusively by a contagious vaccine.
And a contagious
vaccine is something they developed in a lab for sure.
Oh, man. Have you read the book or you heard of the book, The Invisible Rainbow? You know about that?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. I have it.
Yeah. Do you give any, cause that basically posits that, that whenever they expand the magnetic field, you know, there's been three or four, maybe five different, you know, times they've, you know, radio, there's the internet, and every time that happens, it coincides with a viral outbreak of some kind. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's true, right? That is what that book says, like specifically the Spanish flu, so that people were getting that in the middle of an ocean many weeks after they had contact with people. And actually, my father was in the Navy. He told me he was on a ship in the Navy during World War II for 11 months straight. So I believe that you can be out there and totally unconnected to people. And if you were getting an illness that supposedly was microbial, there's absolutely no way that, could survive for that long. I think that's a reasonable assessment. So I wouldn't know how to like prove that myself, but there's another like connected idea that somebody suggested to me. I think it was Robert Frederick from The Hidden Life Is Best, whom you might find interesting as a podcast, but he said he didn't think that we could leave Earth because we're magnetic people. We're electromagnetic in our systems. And, I started to think of that. Like, do you mind if I just like ramble?
No, that's what you're here to do. No,
yeah, well, that's my thing. I love it. Yeah. Never shut up. I'm trying to make lemonade out of that. So here's the thing. So he suggested this and I thought that was interesting. Like we are a function of our environment and actually are interacting with it. And there are two other things that I think like kind of demonstrate that point. One is theoretical and one is actual. So the theoretical one is like, I have a guy, True Hemp Science. He sells CBD products in Texas and they're great. Like I never understood CBD. I never believed it, whatever. It's great. It's so great to the point where I feel I sleep better. I'm happier the next day. Yeah, I don't overdo it. I take like one little gummy and I don't drink at night when I do that. It's just great. And I thought, how is it possible? Like I'm walking around with a cannabis deficiency. Like, how is that possible? And I thought, it is actually possible because I've read that when they were trying to eradicate hemp, there was just a funny account of a guy who like got off a train in the middle of nowhere, like out in Iowa or wherever, I don't know where it was, California, I don't know where it was. And he said his job was to eradicate hemp, and he got off the train and it was literally hemp as far as the eye could see. It's a weed. Yeah. It's a weed. And it's one of like the four God's gifts to man that I think is like gold, oil, hemp, and eggs.
Wow.
Yeah. Just like, wow, God gave us those things and like, think of what they can do.
Yeah.
and hemp is just one of those things. And so I feel like it must've been everywhere, like in the air, like you could not walk around without being exposed to airborne cannabinoids. And another, so like maybe we're not really healthy. And similarly, like probiotic, like fermented food, I think that we must have evolved to, and I'm not even sure I believe in evolution, except for on the margin. It's not the origin of species.
Adapted to, yeah.
Mathematically impossible. Yes. Darwinism is mathematically impossible.
You get it, Monica. Right? Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, but I do think that they're like after, I think that like sauerkraut, why did Germans have huge, giant tanks full of sauerkraut? And I realize it's the harvest. The cabbage all gets harvested at once. So they have to they have to preserve it. That's what beer is. That's what wine is. That's what sauerkraut is. So our bodies require that, and we've forgotten. And then another thing, which is absolutely proof positive, you can see by walking around, chimpanzees, from whom I do not believe we are descended, but we're similar in anatomy, they have huge distended bellies. And we don't. We have super, super flat bellies, don't we?
Yeah, especially me, yeah.
Me too. Yeah. Super, super flat. So chimps have these distended bellies. And I read, just not in anything politically charged, that the reason is by using fire, we do a lot of the digesting.
Yeah, we do the cooking outside of the belly.
Outside of the body.
Yes, yes.
So look, our bodies really probably couldn't be as nourished without these external factors that are in our world. And I think that we are so electromagnetic that, you know, we are a giant spinning magnet. We live on a giant, it's like if we lived in an electric, you know, in one of those things, in an electricity, you know, like, so the magnetosphere, which is my favorite sphere, is a magnet, and it just keeps the atmosphere in. It's fantastic. We might be the only ones who have it, which would be the reason we're the only ones who have life.
Yeah.
So I feel like the electricity thing, it's intentionally under researched, or the information is guarded.
Yeah.
And I think space is bullshit. So I think space is real. I think we're an orb. I have a big telescope and I've seen the moons of Jupiter like go around Jupiter over like several nights. And I've seen the rings of Saturn. So like, I'm not a flat earther, but I think that this moon landing and stuff, Mars, I'm not buying it.
Yeah. I agree with, I think that we definitely can't leave. I've never thought about why all that much, but I just don't think we have, I don't think we can. And there's something going on. And I'm not a big, not only people love to say I'm not a scientist. I'm not even like really a scientific thinker, other than with music. I think about that very scientifically.
Oh, well, it's all math.
Yeah, it's all math. But there's something to the waves and this gets into music as well, where, you know, there's the tuning of the music that changed over time. And there's certain, what is it called? A resonant frequency, where you can kind of crack glass with the right. Some people think that's what 9/11 was, but they got it with a frequency emitter. I don't know my take on that.
It can cure cancer. I think that's true.
Yeah, I do too. Well, the other day I think there's a person that's still in the chat, my buddy in real life. I went over to his house the other day and he's big on this, I don't know what, you know, holistic medicine or what, natural medicine, homeopathic. And he put me under this, he got out these two blankets with electrodes in it. And he like covered me with one. It's called a PEMF, electromagnetic frequency emitter or whatever. And it like shocked my system for a little bit. And they gave me it's called a foot bath, where they put your feet in. He didn't give me it. He's not down there like rubbing my feet.
Yeah, I mean,
but it was crazy. They get this little foot tub, put your feet in it, They put salt in it. They put an electrode in there, and they hook this electrode up to a like a box, which goes to a computer. And they're in there loading programs. There's a COVID protocol. There's like a detox. There's hundreds of protocols: viral, yeast infection, and they can load in a protocol into this electrode that is basically detoxing your feet.
And what evidence does this guy have that gives him confidence in that?
I have no. Like, I mean, he's talking
has he
in the
said
chat.
To you, it's worked.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, what he described it as the other day is not a fix, as in it will move the needle 100% or even 50. But you think about it. Even this is my words, not his. But the way I think about it, that if you're in a sport. And you have a 5 to 10% advantage over your opponent.
Yes, yes.
You're just
going to
dominate.
Non-zero.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all I need.
Yeah. So, the way he described it is it does move the needle, and he has a bunch of research. I actually want to get him. He's been on the show to just talk shit one time. But I want to get him on to just talk about this. And I was thinking about going over there and doing a spa day, just staying there, because he has this. Thing you get in there, it's like a pod. There's an infrared sauna. I actually have an infrared sauna myself that I think definitely has some benefits. But there's this whole thing, and if you want your body to heal, there's kind of wait around and do nothing, go into the big pharma system or research things that God created essentially that can move the needle a little bit.
Yeah, so I am a big fan of figuring it out.
Yeah.
Figuring it out. And I the older I get, the more I can tune into this stuff. Plus I used to drink a lot, smoke cigarettes and had a job. I mean, I had a job. I'd always work 80 hours a week, but I mean, occasionally 120 hours a week, not go home at all for days. Yeah. I was an investment banker, and you're not in tune with your body. There's no way you're 5% moving of the dial is going to do anything. I mean, 60 milligrams of Prozac wouldn't save you then. So there's no way. But now that I'm older and I get the same amount of sleep every night and stuff, I can really tune into what's making me feel better. So I thought I was getting AFib. My heart was racing and everything. And I was I would never say it out loud. I try not to say it out loud too much because I don't want to be fucking wiped out with some stealth weapon. If I say the wrong thing,
directed energy weapon, in your face. Yeah.
Teeny bit. That's another reason. I didn't ever want it to get too big. I'm a little fucking worried about that. So I bought this book, the AFib cure, and these two doctors are AFib medicine's terrible for you. If you can avoid it, don't take it. And he has a list of 10 things not to do and 10 things to do. And the not to do is caffeine, alcohol, sugar, and then the to do is magnesium and other electrolytes. And I'll tell you, I started doing that stuff and it's just completely gone. And I kind of didn't even go that far. I don't really give up alcohol. I don't really give up caffeine. And I got a heart monitor. I just went to the doctor, got a heart monitor. I was I think I have AFib. And at the same time I put the heart monitor on, I was just did the things the guy said, basically cut back on caffeine and took magnesium. And I could not, I had this thing on for 10 days. I could not get my heart to skip a beat, to race, nothing. I couldn't.
Wow.
I completely solved the problem. And I feel like that's true for a lot of stuff, but you just have to be willing to do it. Now, I have a son who has Down syndrome and he is absolutely tortured by psoriasis. I mean, it's just been terrible. And eventually I had him have a celiac test and he does have celiac and half of it went away, but he still has more. And I know it's from something, but he has Down syndrome. So he's super articulate. He's really, really high functioning, but not high functioning enough to solve medical problems on his own. Sure. And I'm like, you've got to stop eating soy or dairy. He's I can't do it, Mom. I can't, I can barely stop eating cake and you're welcome, but I can't do it. And he can't do it. So, but after years of trying different things, the only thing that really helps from the outside is actually the stuff the CBD guy makes that has cayenne in it. Cayenne will help. If you have psoriasis, cayenne will help on the outside, maybe even orally. But I feel like if I was the one who had it, I probably would be able to figure it out. And wow. And that's how, so like with your friend, if he says it works, I believe him.
Yeah. And he said, so there's a couple things from the chat for you. So the big machine, like this pod, they like goes up to your neck and it like pumps you with ozone and like electrodes. It's called a HOCAT, an all cat, HOCATT. And they have places in LA that you could go to, a HOCAT machine.
For my son?
For what? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he said it before you brought up your son.
Oh, okay.
But I think that kind of helps with all kinds of healing and detox and things like that. I'll send you a link once we get off.
Even started like we finally bought a house out here, had to kind of commit, and it's a super old house and it has all these built-in roller screens. It was before air conditioning. So every single window the screen completely covers and you clasp it down at the bottom, and it's all designed to have cross ventilation. So I started to not even use air conditioning anymore. Cool. And I think it's better for you. Like, so these little things, if you can change your lifestyle, little things, I think that the fermented food is the most important.
Oh, that's huge gut stuff. Yeah. Well, I definitely think, I mean, I'm a sucker for this, but I think, I mean, I love AC. I hate being hot, but AC totally makes you weak. It totally makes you, absolutely makes you
that's
just
true.
Total beta. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
weather makes people tough. I totally agree. I always tell my kids that, I'm like, you kids are from the South. Like, we lived in Atlanta and stuff. I'm like, I'm from New York. You have to sometimes you have to get up at 6 a.m. when it's icy cold and shovel the driveway. Yeah. You clean off the car.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And all whatever. You just have to do it. Like, people, your neighbors died of a heart attack doing that. Yep. You're fucking doing it.
Yeah. You know? And you feel alive. You feel alive after. Once you get out there, you put on the gloves and the hat, you shovel for a little bit.
The Southerners, they have their tricks too, like the pre-AC. And I also figured out that's how climate is so important to culture. So that's why I realized, why did anyone ever live in the North? And I thought, factories. You can't put factories where it's hot.
Yeah.
So the factories were in the North and the plantations were in the South. And that's why people, I was like, why did anyone live in Buffalo? You know, why? Why are cars in Detroit?
Yeah.
So, so then the Southerners have their own thing. So my family's furniture movers. So I would go with my dad and we'd go to different places. And in the South, the workers all move like molasses. But by 2 p.m, when my brothers are like having to get a little, a little defame, a couple of paddles to the heart.
Yeah.
These guys are still, they can work 12 hours straight because they're just going slow. And I realized too, it would get super hot, couldn't function at all. Lemonade or iced tea, like a super, super cold thing with sugar in it.
Sugar, yeah.
Totally energy. Will change in does. A half an hour. Totally changes your energy profile.
Yeah. Wow.
So although I know that I feel like the Southerners aren't as hardy, they have their endurance methods, and that's another thing. But AC and heat, just, you know, and this house is like a grandfathered in with fireplace. Like, you're not allowed to build a house with a fireplace out here.
Oh,
but we have one.
You have one.
And that's one of the reasons we bought the house. Yeah. We just wanted to have a little, you know, a little freedom.
Yeah.
But
cool. Wow. I have a question in the chat. What do you, just back to like the kind of the natural, what is, Semper says, what do you think about autism? Like, do you think it exists? Do you think, like, what do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you, because my son has Down syndrome, I meet so many people who have autism. And I remember when I was growing up, which is a long time ago, not that long, but a long time ago, autism was so rare.
Yeah.
And autism, like, my impression of autism as a child was the kid rocked back and forth and had no language.
Hmm.
That was autism.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kids with Down syndrome. As an aside, I have a friend who works introducing new families to special services. She's got a Down kid. She said she's worked with 600 families in the past year and only one had Down syndrome. And you know why that is. Because prenatal testing is so perfect that there's almost 100% abortion rate. And the only people who you ever see now with Downs is out here are Mexicans. And I said, was she Mexican? She's like, yep, the kid's Mexican. Yeah. So it's just Catholics, I guess, is the bottom line. Whereas in the Bible Belt, it wasn't just Catholics. There were plenty. When I lived in Atlanta, it was much more sympathetic. Anytime I've lived in LA, I've lived before, I never don't want anyone to help. Like, I just, they're hostile. They feel like, I shouldn't generalize, but my experience has been,
go ahead, that's what we do here.
Yeah, that yeah. there is, that there's a, like, you're a drain on society feeling out here. But yeah. not for autism, because you can't predict it. But so as a child, I don't remember anybody who had autism, but I did know people who had Down syndrome. Now I know many, many people who have autism, and it's that whole spectrum. It's a whole bunch of things. And I personally have really no doubt that it can be related either to vaccine, many things perhaps, but I figured out how it would have helped, how it would have come from vaccines. And they say the reasons they can't replicate some of those studies is that what the real mechanism is, children who react strongly to the vaccine get super sick. Because they banned aspirin for children, however many years ago, they take Tylenol, which shuts down your liver. So those are the kids who are having the double whammy, where the vaccine, I think what the vaccine does, and I there was a piece of this puzzle, I just can't remember. I had this aha moment. I was like, of course. And I can't remember it. Mm. But the vaccines, I believe, because they create this immune response, shut down the gut biome. And then that... I can't remember why, you know, what that connection was, where I thought, oh, as soon as it shuts down the gut biome, that affects your mind. I cannot remember why it would do that. I know there is a strong, like, gut mind connection.
Yeah, that maybe goes back to old, ancient societies and stuff like that. I mean, like, I feel, you know, like, it's, you know, go with your gut. I mean, these old sayings, yes. I mean, there's a lot of truth in these so-called old wives' tales and ancient medicine and things like that. And then there always was a connection between your heart, your mind, and your gut.
Yes. Yes.
Again, I'm not a scientist, but the big thing for me is I don't need the science, because I actually believe pre-enlightenment science more. So I'm just like, this seems true to me, and I don't need to know all the details why, but there's something in the gut. I mean, people become, if they fix their gut, they almost become a different person. They're happier, they're smarter, they, you know, and conversely, you know, when they ruin their gut, they become angry, you know, impulsive, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's funny, because the science, I believe, is so, I mean, I believe to the extent it goes in the scientific method, like, yes, I know that if yes. I put a ball on a thing and watch it roll, I'm observing a force of, you know, you can define force however you want, but like, I'm going to say a ball will roll down an incline and that's science to me. But I think it's very sad to me, really outrageously unethical, that the first thing anyone does is give you pills. Like, the thing about the cold source, the Valtrex that I was taking is, I think, $30 a pill.
Whoa.
$30 a pill. Like, I wasn't paying it, but I had to have brand name. The other stuff didn't work. $30 a pill. And then, like, my son, like, why would the dermatologist not suggest a celiac test? He was in the hospital because his skin got so infected, because he scratches and everything.
Yeah.
And actually got infected because he was using a steroid cream, which suppresses the immune system. And then he was vulnerable to infection, but we were in the hospital for 3 days. They couldn't figure it out. And as soon as he quit gluten, that particular problem that he had went away. And I'm not like, I'm celiac too, but I'm not like, oh, gluten solves all the problems. He has celiac disease. We can't digest it. And it comes out in your skin. Like, it comes out where it has to come out. But I don't, you know, the fact that science is used to, is in competition with nature. So it's in, they set it up that way. The pharma set it up that way. And that's the thing with the CBD. I was taking Benadryl every night. And then I was like, okay, well, first of all, wine has like histamines in it. So that's, you know, drink wine, and I have to take Benadryl, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'd be better off with THC and CBD. Like, those two things would both be better. But I can't get too high. Like, I have kids to deal with. And like with alcohol, dosing is so much easier. Like you can have a small dose and then it'll go away real quick. If you eat a gummy, it's like 4 hours later. Like I hope nobody's has an emergency.
Absolutely. Yeah. But does CBD get you high like that?
Not at all. Okay, you can get traces in it. Like if you get one that has traces of THC in it, it can get you a little bit high. But that's not what I just take one of these little gummies. I don't even know if it's like he's got a million numbers and whatever. I just like the original gummy with no traces of THC. I eat it after dinner and I just watch my Inspector Morse and like I'm fucking chilling.
Awesome.
I love it. I sleep great.
I never heard of the Tylenol thing before. That take on either autism or that. I mean, I know it, you know, read the bottle and it's like don't take this if you consume more than 3 drinks a day.
We like to drink alcohol, so we don't use Tylenol. That's why my kids really never had Tylenol. Right. And I also knew it was very bad for your liver. I knew somebody, a distant relative, killed herself with Tylenol. So she took a bottle of Tylenol. And what happens is it takes a day to die and you can't fix it.
Really?
It's terrible. I shouldn't even say it out loud. No one should ever. Terrible. So you know. You regret it and there's nothing you can do. So anything that powerful, I just don't want that potentially harmful. Yeah. And because it shuts down your liver, you know, that whatever was happening with the vaccine in those kids is not being helped. Like masking symptoms is a problem. And that's why like the Valtrex and stuff, masking symptoms. So I have a lysine deficiency that I had my entire life. And it's terrible on your body to not have the tools it needs to battle stress and everything. So I didn't, you know, why couldn't somebody tell me that? Surely the guy knows, like my fantastic ear, nose, and throat guy had to have known. Why'd I have to fucking get it from the chat in a union of the unwanted?
How'd you figure it out?
I actually wasn't from that. That's how I figured out how to, I knew someone had to get the vaccine, chose to not destroy their lives. It was a fucked up choice. Sorry, I curse a lot on your show.
That's all right. Well,
okay. Thank you. For now. You can feel free to be. I know. All right. I'm working on it. It's the one thing. I've quit smoking. I've quit alcohol. I've quit like everything. I quit cocaine by the time I was 18.
Nice.
But I just can hardly quit using vulgarity. I don't curse.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but I, when that person prompted me, oh yeah. So somebody taught me the protocol to prevent vaccine injury if you had to get vaccinated, which I'm happy to share. But, the lysine, that person prompted me on Twitter to figure it out. And I did, and I just did all the research I could. And I
like
found
blood work through blood work. Like,
no, just research on that lysine prevents cold sores. I got one once a month. So as soon as I started taking the lysine and I didn't get one for 2 years straight.
Oh, that's just, you just whittled it down and through it, you know, elimination and experimentation. You just knew it was that.
Yeah. Well, I had done the research and this connection with lysine was absolutely known. It's scientifically known. The doctors should know it. They should always, there should be, should, I don't know. There, it would be the ethical thing that like with abortion or whatever, you know, just you should tell people that there are alternatives, you know, so with try lysine before you try Valtrex. Like, is that so hard? But of course, Valtrex is $1,000 a bottle. So who's going to tell you that?
Someone says in the chat, please share that vaccine protocol. Is there a way that we can get access to
that? So it was like 4 things. I really was just in my memory. I should have really written it down, but the number one thing, and this was validated to me by a stewardess who had COVID, and like within 30 days of them putting a mandate at her airline, and they said, you have to do it. You have to do it now. So she went to get the vaccine and the nurses were super upset because they knew how bad it was to get the vaccine.
Wow.
Within 30 days. And they sat there with her. This is the number one thing, ice. So you want to freeze that thing in your arm as fast. So what we did,
wow,
this person, we iced to like it was almost hypothermic in before for hours before, ran in, got the thing. We were waiting in the car with, you know, makes me want to cry. But, you know, we put ice and stuff and it was just a terrible time, really. But
wow.
Hey. But I think that worked and we did other things. So, which, it was the quercetin and zinc with NAC. So two quercetin with zinc and one NAC. And NAC was off the shelves. I bought like six bottles. I'm sorry, I had to hoard it because it wasn't going to people. It was just being taken off shelves. So if you need a bottle of NAC, I can give you one. And then the other thing was structured water. And I don't know if this is, you know, I've somebody won a Nobel Prize for discovering like this phase of water, which is if you stir water 100 times, it'll structure itself. And the cell membrane, from what I understand, is there's distance between the cell membrane and the cell nucleus or whatever, the interior of the cell, like what keeps your cells like taut. And that little insulation between the membrane and the inside of the cell is structured water. And I don't know if drinking structured water helps you have that. I really don't know. I know you could just eat cantaloupe and cucumber. I really like to eat like living watery things for that reason. But like for a month before and after, like it was my job to stir water for 100 times. And then there was a fourth thing. I think it might have been liposomal glutathione.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was liposomal glutathione was the fourth thing.
You just keep this all this up here, all this info.
Yes,
you just,
I had
off the dome, huh?
Yes, I had to remember. And people asked me, and I was telling people. And also, we were waiting for the Novavax, which was a conventional vaccine that was made. It was made with toxins, but it was the difference between the mRNA and the DNA vaccines, and the conventional vaccines is that the mRNA and DNA ones teach your body how to make this thing. So the quantity that your body ends up hosting is unclear. Whereas the conventional ones deposit a given amount into your body with an adjuvant that makes your body scared of it and freak out, but there's a finite amount that's been tested. So at least you know what you're dealing with.
Wow. Well, I mean, I didn't realize we were going to get a science lesson today. We just did an hour, flew by as always.
I'm no scientist. Yeah. I'm going to go on the record.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, it's basically that's the thing people say these days, not get sued. Like, this is not financial advice.
I went to law
advice.
School. That's how I knew that little thing about Tommy Chong. Like, I mean, I'm just, it's just my opinion. And there was a time when that was okay. When I was on the radio, that's what they said. Just separate fact from opinion. And that's what I do. And I would go down fighting, but you never get your day in court. You just get your WordPress, you know, site removed, which I did. And I've gotten deplatformed, and now I'm just shadow banned. But I got thrown off the air, which was fine, because I used to say, like, please, Dianne Feinstein, if you need to take me off the air, just tell me. Don't kill me.
Yeah.
And I said to my boss once, like, if you got a call from Dianne Feinstein telling you to take me off the air, what would you do? She's like, that would be the coolest thing ever. And when I got kicked off YouTube for something, he was like, he was ready to make an ad, like, banned by YouTube, welcome on WSB. And then a while later, he said, you know, if you get thrown off Twitter, it will be hard to protect you.
Yeah, I think they are. Okay, I'm not saying, look, there's a quote that I like to say, and it's not literal, obviously, but it's like, I would rather be alive on Twitter or on the internet and dead in real life than dead on Twitter and alive. They are killing you in a way. That's like your baby.
You would rather die than get thrown off Twitter.
I mean, it's just a joke, but like,
yeah, no, I get your joke.
I would rather be like reincarnated on Twitter.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that. I'm sorry. Are you a hard out at the top?
No,
of the hour?
I thought you were. No. And,
well, I get exhausted after 60 minutes, so I need to, like, that's why I try to not overdo it. But but the thing is, I think that where we are in, like, democracy or whatever you want to call
whatever
it,
call this
government
crap.
Yep. Of the human being is so fictional. That it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter what we say, where we say it. It doesn't matter that they're the whole, if this facade of you have a choice, you vote, you have the First Amendment, if it stopped, working for them, if they couldn't like manipulate it, they would scrap it and we would have something else, which we didn't talk about the whole Israel-Palestine thing.
It was in my notes, but you know.
I know, but I think I'll just give you my one little nugget of wisdom on this. Please. Is that I do feel like that whole conflict and what's been happening here, like in podcasters and, you know, ringing a bell if you hear a Jewish name, like that kind of stuff is a big setup. It's a big setup. And the problem is that we're being set up for the clash of civilizations, which is the 21st century dialectic. It's, they act like it's still communism versus capitalism. That's over. We have social democracy. The synthesis is complete. That was the 20th century dialectic. 21st century dialectic is this clash of civilizations, which has been on the in the works for 30 years at least. And I believe that, and I'm not taking this from any kind of ethnicity judgment, like creed. I don't know. I don't care. I'm telling you what I think the plan is that I always felt like the 21st century dialectic would be secularism versus religion. And that, so you're familiar with the thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. So the thesis is the secularism and antithesis is religion. And then the synthesis will be a merger of church and state, but the church will be a secular church.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you see it with environmentalism, you see it with COVID, and how do you do that? Well, the merger has to be with a culture that has not rejected the idea of church and state being combined. So if they are looking to expand Islam into the Western world, it may be because they want a template that they can secularize the religion, but still you have features that are like mask wearing or like pressuring neighbors to obey, stuff like that. And I could be bringing prejudices, I'm not really sure, but when I heard Netanyahu say, like, we are going to give you something to remember for decades.
Yeah, that was dark. That was, like, weird.
That was kind of stupid, right? Yeah. He's saying, like, you made a big mistake. And I'm like, yeah, people don't make mistakes like that. 9/11 would have been the stupidest thing on earth for Osama bin Laden to do.
Right.
Right? So it's, you got to wonder. And then to give them their trail of tears, you know, that's, you think that's in Israel's benefit? It might be to him personally. Netanyahu seems like a very self-serving person who doesn't care about the long-term implications of announcing that you're creating, you're giving them that moral moment that they, that you personally expect will fuel decades of, you know, even if it's just a sympathy thing where, you know, Europe doesn't have its history of African-based slavery. But it can say that they were, you know, on the wrong side of this for a long time. They had crusades. And then you have, you know, a lot of things that can play in. So when I see this complete polarization of you're a Marxist or you're a neocon, like what's happening right now, a lot of press on both sides, I'm like, we are getting ginned up for a conflict. And, you know, there are lots of different agendas at play probably, but I feel like if you wanted to go super, super, super meta on, you know, 100-year thing, like what is the 21st century dialectic?
Yikes. Yeah, that's big thinking. I mean, there, you know, a lot of things, what I've been talking about lately is when something just like rings true. I've been saying the phrase directionally true. Directionally, I mean, I'm not a big details or, you know, you do the deep dive. I've been saying, one of my taglines is I'm not your deep dive guy because I like taking the piss out of stuff.
I'm your drive-by quick hit guy.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, but
shoot from the cuff, whatever.
Absolutely. And I'm right directionally most of the time and I don't care about the things I'm wrong about.
Good instincts.
Yeah.
So what's your instinct?
What's my instinct? Well, my about the grand narrative stuff.
You were just about to say, lately I've been saying.
Well, I mean, that is what I've been saying. What lately I've been saying is that when something feels directionally true,
right,
I kind of just chase it. I chase it down the rabbit hole. But as far as these grand narratives, I mean, I would never bet against that because that's biblical. I mean, that is the merger of, I mean, I believe what the Bible says, and the merger of the church, not that it's the real church, and secularism and a new one world religion is, I believe that's going to happen. It's just whether it's going to happen this time.
And for the record, as far as like me bringing any kind of personal baggage, like I grew up in the highest population Jewish county in the country. Mm-hmm. A lot of friends who were Jewish. My first boyfriend's middle name literally was Israel. That super short guy was Jewish. And then
early life check on Monica Perez, guys.
But I also have, my grandmother was an orphan from Syria. I'm sure I have second generation.
True.
You know, I have second cousins in Syria. I mean, look at me. And they were Orthodox Christian, which, you know, they're not going to be spared. They may be dead already for all I know.
Well,
I just, you know, I'm not making any, I'm not, this is just an observation of what I think, you know. I just always look to, when I hear too much, when people have to pick a side, that's a new thing. That's a huge red flag to me. Like, I'm not a neocon or a Marxist.
Hmm. Yeah.
No, I just, I believe in basic principles, and I will take every single solitary issue one at a time and look at any action and say, like, is that moral? Is that not moral? It's basically based on the Ten Commandments. Just, you know, and for politics, I like the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just use those as litmus tests for any single thing and not bring some tribalism to it.
Yeah.
But nobody wants that anymore.
Yeah, it's not very in the mainstream conversation, but I do have to go. I love talking to you.
Yeah, I love it. Of course, I tell you this hard out, and then I like.
Yeah,
blab.
It's okay. And I wanted to keep you talking. I wanted to keep you in the room.
No, it's great. It was fun, and I did want to hit on that subject because I know you wanted current events, and I never told anybody that, like, my little code cracked there. So there you go. It's all an exclusive.
Right. Okay, that's great. Well, tell people how this is going to be a podcast as well. So tell the people how to find your work online. I'll put the links below in the show description. But how do we find your material?
The best way to really see a sampling of my work is to go to monicasdeepdives.com, and there's like a listen tab. And if you go to deep dives, you can find all that really, really good firsthand research. But there's also tons of interviews there. And if you just want to hear the latest, you can find Deep Dives with Monica Perez on your favorite podcasting platform and on Rockfin.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Monica, great having you on. I'll reach out in a couple months to get you back on. I want to not let so much time go by because I've kind of revamped the guest thing. So you're going to be one of our regulars if that's cool with you.
And it's totally fine. And if you give me the file, I'll put it in my feed.
Great. All right. Cool. All right, Monica, have a great day.
Thanks
talk to you next time. All right. Bye-bye. See ya. Yeehaw, everybody. Monica Perez. Awesome guest, fast paced, like we said, bang, 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 Jews, blacks, Jews, blacks, Jews, blacks, medicine, Tylenol, Down syndrome, autism, California, Georgia. Call me ignorant, Monica Perez is the guest. See you guys next time for another great interview. Thank you so much for watching the video. Really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it. If you go over to the channel, hit subscribe. That'd be awesome. Ignoramus videos over there on YouTube. Also, please go over to my link tree. That is linktr.ee/ignoramusmedia and give me a follow on all the different platforms listed over there. We live stream on Ignoramus Streams YouTube as well as Rumble and Odyssey every weekday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. The first hour is a Bible study, and then at 10 a.m., we start the Daily Ignoramus, which is, you know, politics, news, current events, things like that. Also just having a general good time. So yeah, go over to the link tree listed below in the show description. Follow all the channels, please. Also, there's links there to donate and to do a monthly subscription over at Subscribestar. So yeah, 9 a.m. every single weekday. Check out the content, and I'll see you guys next time.